Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for a point to ponder, something that we need to hear from the Lord that is relevant to us right in this time that we are living, this last day generation. Now, we can preach a lot of things that are accurate and true and helpful in many ways. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church right here, right now, in this time that we are living, not in some past time except for a reference, but in this moment that we are living in time, we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church today. Christians need to be made aware of God's will for us and God's way for us to overcome all of the tests and temptations that are being brought to us living in the last days. For we are told that many false prophets shall go out into the land and deceive many. It'll be a time of great deception. We're told that there will be wars and rumors of wars bringing depression and hopelessness upon the world, that the world looks like it's a tinderbox about to erupt into flames and be consumed. We hear of weather conditions and unusual weather conditions that man has absolutely no control over, that there would be earthquakes in various places, and it's happening over and over with a frequency that it hasn't been known before. Amen. And it will continue to increase. It's like the earth is groaning. There's actually a scripture, and I hope I'm not taking it out of context. The earth is groaning for a manifestation of the sons of God, because the sons of the children of darkness are corrupting the earth. They're corrupting the world. They're corrupting each other. Evil men and seducers being deceived, waxing more and more, amen, coming on the scene, bringing deception and being deceived in the process, until they, as one practical translation puts it, they have told lies so many times that they really begin to believe their own lies, and they will be as damned to hell as sure as the people who follow them, for they will not bring a message of repentance. They will not bring a message that truly brings salvation. They will bring a worldly message to worldly people that will heap to themselves that kind of teacher in order to hear what they want to hear and get what they're after. And they're not after Christ. They're not after godliness. They're not after righteousness. They're not after God. They are after anything they can get to fulfill all of the lust of their flesh. Amen. Listen, friend of mine, we need a clear clarion message from the Word of God to stimulate us to hold true to Christ as our master. Amen. And not just our Savior, but our Lord today. And to commit ourselves to follow Him in spite of all of the compromise around us. So I'm going to bring you a tough message today, but these are tough times, and I believe we need a tough message to address it. I want to talk to you today about the danger of backsliding. A call to the dead church to wake up. Now, when we say church, this is not just compromised, complacent denominations. This is also about the Christians who fill these kind of churches. There are non-denominational churches that don't already represent compromise, but they are compromised in the message. They're compromised in the people who claim to be followers of Jesus, who are part of those churches. Amen. What you see on Sunday morning is not necessarily the reality of spiritual health in a church. Some churches are diseased with compromise, diseased with unconfessed sin that continues with Jezebels in the pulpit. Oh, yeah, Jezebel is not just has to be a female in the church, but it's the spirit of this female, this Jezebel of old, this God-hating, this Christian-hating attitude guised in the form of religion, amen, that is teaching people to sin without consequence, without repentance. That's a Jezebel spirit and a man with a beard, if he shaves, amen, and he surely probably does, a man that's growing a beard, not a long beard, but a man who shaves his face and a man who dresses in a manly suit, amen, maybe in a robe, I don't know. But a man can have the same spirit of Jezebel teaching compromise to God's people and threatening with death, first spiritual death and then physical death. Amen. Jesus talked about that, and he told the pastor of the church to sit down this Jezebel, this teaching, this teacher, not just a woman, male or female, amen, that is teaching my people to sin and compromise. And if you don't do that, I will throw you and them into a bed of adultery with her. Because she's teaching sexual sin is just fine. Fornication is okay. Adultery is okay. God just looks over it. He doesn't really mean that there are consequences to these unconfessed sins. Listen, let me give you a message today from the complacent and compromising church in the book of Revelation and Christ's message to them. Would we hear it today? Would we give heed to it today as Christians who are serious about our faith? Amen. And the churches we attend. Listen, Revelation 3, 4, and 5. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Listen, friend, the righteous that are seeking to follow Jesus full out are few in number compared to the compromised today. Amen. And complacent today that are satisfied. Amen. In without being challenged to truly deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus, to be literally an upstream Christian in a downstream world. If it was just the world and its temptations and testings and persecutions, that is one thing. But when it seeps into the church, when even as a Christian you're persecuted for living holy, you're persecuted for seeking to do that is right in the eyes of God and according to the Scripture. Amen. You're called holier than thou. You're called self-righteous. The world calls you a bigot, and the compromised church calls you a someone who is thou shalt not judge. I've heard this so many times. You shouldn't judge. You shouldn't judge. Well, somebody had better judge right from wrong if we're going to teach God's people right from wrong. You don't have to judge the heart. Let God take care of that. Judge the doctrine. Judge the fruit. Jesus put it this way. This is tough stuff for tough times. Jesus put it this way. Every tree is known by the fruit it bears. A good tree cannot and will not bring forth evil fruit, and an evil tree cannot and will not bring forth good fruit. So make the tree good and its fruit good, or evil and its fruit evil. For a tree is known by the fruit it bears. Even the world can figure that out. When we are true disciples of Jesus, we become living epistles, and we are written and read by all men. They see it. They don't see sinless perfection, nor do they see self-righteousness, but they see righteousness. They do see holiness. Amen. They see people that are committed to seek to follow Christ's example and not just be like everybody else in a sin-darkened, Satan-influenced, amen, flesh-controlled world. They see the difference. They sense the difference. And if we have the right kind of testimony, we can have a witness to this world, amen, that there is victory in Jesus. There is transforming power in the gospel. And there is a life that can be lived in the light without accommodating the darkness all around us. Let's finish these two verses. These are heavy verses here today. Revelation 3, 4, and 5 to the church of Sardis. Listen, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, and you've got to overcome something that's occurring in the church world here, in the church itself here, that is now backslidden, amen, that once had a real, genuine testimony, that had a life in God, amen, and now has become complacent, compromising, and are satisfied without that life giving word any longer. There's a message has to be being preached that has no life in it anymore. Remember what Jesus said? The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And all scripture, the Bible teaches, is inspired by God. Literally, God breathed. God breathes life into His word. And how does He prepare His church? For His bride, if you please, in Scripture, for the coming of the bridegroom, He sanctifies it through the washing of water by the Word. And Jesus said, you are clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. How clean, somebody asked. Come on, somebody asked me out in this audience. How clean? Amen. He cleansed, He loved the church, gave Himself for it, that He might cleanse it by the washing of water by the Word. A compromised message on Sunday morning has no cleansing power. It will not call you or I to sanctification and holiness. There will be no trumpet in Zion calling us out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, and Christ with Belial? Literally, how can the devil and Jesus ever somehow be coalesced and walk side by side? You got to make a choice, my brother, my sister, today. We're in the last days, and we cannot afford to be complacent, and we better not afford to be compromised. Listen, verse 5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Oh yes, we get a robe of righteousness. This is the whole point. When we get saved, we get positional righteousness. We get Christ's robe. Amen. God's robe. We're clothed in God's own righteousness positionally. But He calls us beyond that positional righteousness to a practical personal righteousness. It is not sinless perfection, but it's God seeing our willingness to walk with Him, our willingness to obey Him. He will help us with our weak flesh if He sees a willing heart. And ultimately, we will overcome. We will never be sinlessly perfect, but we can be perfectly right with God without compromising. Amen. And always giving place to the devil and giving in to our flesh. So let's read this again. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Listen to Matthew 10:32, the words of Jesus. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father which is in heaven. This is something we do publicly here on earth. And it's not just mouthing the words. It is living a diametrically different life with a different value system than the world around us. We confess Christ not just with our mouth. We confess Christ with our life. Amen. They see that we are living our life. Amen. Not in the flow away from God, but seeking to go against that flow and always moving progressively more and more to be more and more like our Master, to be more and more a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say something to you real quick here about the danger of backsliding, not just a call to the dead church, but to Christians who are happy to be in that dead church today, because they are never going to be challenged, amen, to wake up. The Bible literally says, awake to righteousness and sin not. That's why when there's a true revival, it doesn't begin in the world. It begins in the church. Amen. It's when the church awakes and seeks to be truly right with God, we have what is called a spiritual awakening. And that is a revival. And revival simply means the breathing of life into that threatens to become a corpse. Amen. Thou hast a name that lives, but thou art dead. What would the Wesleys say today about what's happened in the Methodist Church? What would they say about the compromise? What would the leaders of the different churches that began them, if they could see what they have become today, what would they say? What would a few generations ago of Christians say about Christianity and how it's being misrepresented today? Oh, friend of mine, you can't live on a name of the past. We have to have a present day experience with God and a present day revival and a present day awakening. Hey, judgment indeed begins at the house of God, but so does revival. So does repentance, and so does restoration. There's hope today, but it's only that people will hear and heed, people that call themselves Christian, that call themselves followers of Jesus, that we will hear and heed the clarion call to come out from among them, not just the world, but the church world in compromise. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. Hallelujah. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? Be not unequally yoked together, the believer and the unbeliever. That's just not marrying a pagan or aligning yourself in business with a pagan. That's somebody maybe sitting in a pew next to you. And you're going to have to be able to figure it out. And don't listen to the people that say, oh, if you even have a judgmental thought, you're not judging them as God, judging what should happen to them. You are judging whether or not what they speak is true and what they live is real. Amen. If I judge you're not real, we can't have fellowship together. I'm not going to compromise with you. If you want me to go to that party and drink with you, I'm not going to show up. I'll tell you right now, amen, you may prophesy, speak in tongues, you may quote scripture, but I'm not going to hang out with you if you're not living some kind of life that is separate, therefore sanctified. Oh, what we need today is, amen, that message back. Will you agree with me? Sanctification means cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose that occurred when we came to Christ, but it needs to be carried out in a personal and practical way. The scriptures teach, for the grace of God that has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. We should live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present world. Amen. Living the life doesn't mean that we're doing an injustice to grace. We're trying to work our way to heaven. No, no. Living the life means that we are alive. We're no more dead in trespasses and sins. But you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That means given new life, real life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let me finish my message. It's almost becoming a rant. And sometimes we need a rant in the message to wake us up, awake to righteousness, and sin not. Let's live for God. Let's love God. Let's serve God. Amen. When he finds, let him find fidelity. Let him find true faith. Amen. By keeping the faith. Listen, when backsliding, word you don't hear anymore, hardly ever, is covered up with robes of religion without a real relationship with Jesus. False piety without power to defeat the world's influence, the devil's deception, and the wickedness and weakness of our own uncrucified flesh. We become backsliders while sitting in pews, while singing in choirs, while teaching classes, while preaching from pulpits. Listen carefully. The name that once represented victory, sanctification, and godliness now has no value, no authority, and no witness to the world. Backsliding is a deadly, deadly disease in many churches today, in many Christian lives today. Amen. Churches that are filling up with backslid Christians that are comfortable in those churches because they are never challenged to awake to righteousness. Amen. And not be just giving in and giving place to the devil and allowing sin to have dominion over us. We can't be sinlessly perfect. No one is but Jesus, but we can be victorious enough that sin doesn't reign, as the scripture said. Sin doesn't rule in our life any longer. Hallelujah. Listen, the mistake, yes, I'm a pastor evangelist, and I have been criticized for that. I've been actually told that the evangelist is only supposed to, in other words, I'm not supposed to bother backslid Christians. I'm not supposed to call for an awakeness in the church. The church is just fine. I mean, we got saved when we were 12 or 10, and we were still sitting around a campfire singing Kumbaya. We don't need, amen, to truly examine ourselves in light of Scripture and our holy calling and our vocation. We just sit in church on Sunday in the pew for 1 hour. Yeah. And we go home and we go back to work and back out into the world. And the world doesn't know we've ever been to church and doesn't give a holy hoot that we did. Amen. Listen, because they can't see anything any different than themselves in us. So the mistaken idea that the evangelist is only sent to call the lost to repentance and the pastor is only supposed to pet and coddle the sheep allows for spiritual death to slowly but surely creep into the church, bringing compromise and complacency. And that's exactly exactly what Jesus was talking about in the complacent, compromising church at Sardis. He said, it is going in a backslidden flow away from me and from God, and yet it still has the name of a Christian church on it. Still bears the name, the people of Christianity. There has a name that lives, but you are dead. Amen. Listen carefully. To be clothed with robes of righteousness, amen, is to truly follow Jesus Christ. This is practical, personal righteousness, not the positional that we received and fallen away from, amen. But this is a life that is constantly being sought and fleshed out because we have become true disciples of Jesus. To overcome, as he says, is not to go with the flow or go with the attitude. It's to repent of our complacency. It's to make a new resolve to follow Christ as true disciples, not phony Christians. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, not indulge himself with false doctrines and false prophets and false promises, but let him deny himself, take up his cross, crucify the flesh, you see, amen, and the lust thereof, and follow Christ's example. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love even as Christ. Many talk the talk, but do not walk the walk. Scriptures teach that we're to despise, not accommodate, make accommodations to or for the garment spotted by the flesh. What garment? This robe granted us through the shed blood of Jesus shouldn't be used, amen, as a false cloak to drag in the mud of compromise and in the darkness of sin. Oh, friend of mine, the call to holiness is not a call to self-exaltation and self-righteousness like the Pharisee and the Sadducee. It is a personal, precise call to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, Jude 23 says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Spotted by the flesh. Listen, we need a soul cleansing message from God today. And He gives that message. And that's what He's saying to the church of Sardis, to the church of Laodicea, to the church of Ephesus. They're in danger of losing their lampstand. They're in danger of him coming to judge them with literally sickness and death in one case. They're in danger, amen, in this condition of their names not being continued to stand in the book of life. I believe that your name is not indelibly written, that you can sin all you want to and never ever have a consequence. Jesus said, amen, he that overcometh, his name shall not be blotted out. If it's indelibly written in, it cannot be blotted out. And I am told that he means that once you're saved, it can never be blotted out no matter what you do. He talks about overcoming here. He talks about a few that haven't defiled their garments. I believe backsliding is not only possible, amen, I believe it's probable to many people that don't realize the danger of it. Listen, this is real stuff. Jesus said there's even just a few names, a few people in this compromised, complacent, backslidden church, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Listen, confessing him before men is not mouthing words. Amen. If thou shalt believe in thine heart, confess with thy mouth. You confess with more than your mouth. You don't just talk the talk, my brother, my sister. You walk the walk. We were buried with him. We've been raised with him to walk in the newness of life. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And the blood of Jesus has a continuous cleansing work within us to keep us sanctified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hating even the garment. Philip says, hating the very garments, their deeds have been befouled, amen, stained and corrupted by flesh, having pity on sinners and preaching out to them in love and compassion. To come to Jesus and repent and be saved does not mean making accommodations for sinful practices. We love the sinner while hating the sin. Some people hate that statement that God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. They want him to love the sinner enough to accommodate the sin, and he's just too holy to do that. Amen. The God of the Bible does not accommodate sin. He condemns it. Jesus' very coming to save us condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. He came to pay a sin debt, not so we could live under sin's bondage and Satan's rule, but to set us free. Praise God. Amen. The flesh must be crucified in order to follow Jesus Christ, and a holy hatred of sin, even in ourself, will help us to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof today. Well, this is a tough message for tough times, but if we don't toughen up, if we don't man up, whether you're male or female, if we don't man up in these days, if we keep going with the flow, following what may be trending instead of what is true, we will never know the truth. Amen. By continuing in the Word and letting the Word cleanse us. Hallelujah. Just like the blood initially cleanses us and continually offers cleansing for those who will repent of our sin. Awake to righteousness. Hallelujah. Repent of our sin and have a brand new resolve that we are going to be true followers of Jesus Christ and not phony Christians. Living in a fallen world, going with the flow. I love you today in Jesus Christ. I want to see a revival in my generation. I want to see a spiritual awakening. I want to see Christianity represented by followers who are not phony, but who are real, so we can be relevant in a world looking for hope, seeking truth. Amen. Real truth, tough truth, but truth. Praise God. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So if we're going to show the world truth, we have to follow Him. We must follow Him who is the way. Not a way, who is the truth and is the life. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today, if you don't know Him and you've seen compromise in so-called Christians, amen, I don't believe you'll ever see perfect people that call themselves Christians. But you should never see just abject sinners just following the ways of the world, doing all the things that following Jesus is the antithesis of. Oh friend, Christians may have failed you because there's only a few, according to Jesus, in certain circumstances that really represent the King and the Kingdom that we are followers of. Oh friend, but these people who have failed you, who God's calling to awareness and awakenness and repentance, they didn't save you. It wasn't their blood. These pastors who are frauds and charlatans, evil men parading themselves as Christian leaders, don't judge Jesus by them. Jesus died for you. Come to Jesus today, the one who did not sin, the one who gave Himself on the cross, the one who set an example. Amen. Follow Him, and come to Him. Repent of your sin and be saved. And everything you hated about phony Christians, become a real Christian. Amen. If you want to see a change, become what you know is wrong around you. And let it begin with you and me, in Jesus' name.